Our first reading is Mark 15, verses 33 to 34. And if my eyesight's right, it's 612 in the Bible. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" The next reading is on page 699 of the Bible, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. "Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.' So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray. Lord, we ask that you would continually warm our hearts to receive what we need to hear this morning that will bring us peace, especially, Lord, if we are facing unanswered prayer. Just be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, I found myself on the threshold of a local church. I hadn't darkened the doorstep of one of those since I got married 6 or 7 years earlier than that, and only baptisms and weddings prior to that. My reason for being there was that I had experienced the unexpected loss of a little one, and I wanted to know why. Why me? Why her? I remember sitting in the pew waiting for a vicar to come and speak to me. In the end, 2 came. I remember distinctly asking them, why did God allow it to happen? They didn't ask me if I had a faith. I had none. They didn't ask me if I had any church connection. I had none. They didn't even ask if I believed in God. Well, I'd learnt the Lord's Prayer at school. Did that count? They simply said, I don't know. We don't know. They brought tissues, comforted me in the silence as best they could, and then I left. When I left, I was none the wiser, but I do remember feeling strangely comforted. First slide, please. It was and still is an experience that holds me when I'm invited to the hospice by families to hold the hand and pray for their loved ones who are nearing the end of their lives. I'm sure at these moments there's already been a lot of unanswered prayer. I don't know either why one person thrives and another doesn't, but I am comforted in part by knowing that God does. Some individuals and families I've prayed for have had a strong faith. Some have had none. And there are many in between. Their faith stage is not a priority in those moments. They have requested prayer because the person and the families want to know or know already that this much loved one of theirs is on his journey or her journey home. And to be able to offer a sense of peace at these moments is a true privilege and not one I take lightly. Most of the time I go in, I come out of these experiences feeling very inadequate. Yet I'm assured my sensing inadequacy doesn't make it a reality. Praying as best you can, while you can, for who you can, is all we can do, as we are accepting then that only God, in his grace, will do the rest. These moments, however, are more challenging when the person involved is young, or like Bishop Andrew this week, sudden and unexpected. I so struggle with the why of such instances. All of us, I'm sure, will have had similar experiences, losing loved ones too early, or even in their older years. All loss is heartbreaking. So the question of why lingers for a long time. Actually, I'm not even sure it truly ever goes. Even if you've had a detailed lowdown of the medical reasons why, it remains always a hurt and a part of you that's missing. A few months back, a close friend of my family, a 35-year-old dad of two, was here one day and gone the next. Why? Losing a child any time between conception to adult. Why? Why did that car come round the corner when it did? Why? What did I do wrong for this to happen? And why? And why, after this many years of praying, am I still plagued with this pain? The why's in life keep coming, and probably, if truth be told, will continue to come. Next slide, please. We live in a very imperfect world. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis in his A Grief Observed. It makes clear that we are not exempt from sufferings, but also makes an acute observation. It says this: we were promised sufferings. They were part of the program. We were even told, blessed are those that mourn, and I accept it. I've got nothing that I hadn't bargained for. Of course, it is different when the thing happens to oneself, not to others, and in reality, not imagination. The whys strike home even more when it's personal. I wonder what was going through the minds and hearts of the friends of Jesus and his mother when they saw him dying on the cross, when they heard him utter the words, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Jesus had pre-warned them of his death, but the reality of it happening in such a way still caused devastation, confusion, and doubt. In all that darkness, they too, I'm sure, would have asked the same question: why? God did not even spare his own son. Third slide, please. In Pete Gregg's book, which is amazing, if you haven't read it, please do read it. It's a very, very good book. It offers and explains 15 practical reasons why God might not answer our prayers, ranging from what he describes as silly prayers, the ones that would have no real effect on our daily life if answered, to the ones that have us thinking that God just isn't listening or he doesn't care. Many of the reasons he gives highlight the fact of a bigger story going on in the background, to do with God's purposes in the world and our place within it. Next slide, please. A few months ago, I listened to a podcast from Lectio 365. It was a morning reflection. It talked about an alternative story going on behind the one we see, experience, and recognize in real time. Last week, Scott referred to this as God seeing the whole story, that we see only the moments, the present, but God sees generations. The podcast gave the example of Mary and Joseph when they were instructed to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be counted as part of a census. It wasn't to be a holiday jaunt or a holiday destination. It was a political have-to of the day. With Mary being heavily pregnant, she and Joseph would have much preferred, I'm sure, to stay where they were in Nazareth. So through gritted teeth, and because they had to, they made the journey to Bethlehem. I wonder at that time if they thought the journey was all part of God's eternal plan. A journey spanning 70 to 90 miles, 4 to 7 days on foot. It's okay, Joseph. This is all God's plan, etc. Would they have been comforting each other with words like that along the way? No, I don't think they would. There wasn't many pleasantries to share on that journey, except for, Mary, my feet are aching. Don't worry about your feet, Joseph. What about this bump? The journey was something that needed to happen, so they got on with it. Very unclear to them at the time was another story unfolding, that the King of the world, King of the universe, God's only Son, was going to be born in a dirty, smelly back barn and grow to be the Saviour of the world. As was God then and now, he and he alone remains in charge of the whole story from beginning to end. Our story in the big story of God, if you like. Therefore, there's much we don't know about the rhyme and reason of our own stories in this present world. But we can be assured that God does. Every page is written in his book, so the Bible teaches. God has promised in his word through Jesus to walk alongside us, around us, within us, every step of the way. And even more so in the why's of our unanswered prayers as the biggest story of our lives develop. With Jesus' resurrection, some of the disciples' whys began, over time, to be answered. The story that had been going on behind the pain of loss began to make a little sense. We may or may not, over time, see the answer to our whys. But our hope in knowing God through Jesus is that one day we will, and it'll all make sense. And maybe even on that day, when we meet Jesus face to face, the whys will all automatically be understood. But today is today. It is not eternity. And we don't often have the blessing of hindsight to our present troubles to carry us through. The reality of the bigger story going on behind the scenes of my life, though, known only to God, brings me and you, I pray, some comfort. Next slide, please. God is God, and God is good. It's in this mantra, this truth, we can place our hope and trust. And it's what I find myself expressing in faith and hope through my prayers, whether that be at the hospice or elsewhere in day-to-day life. God is God, and God is good. God is beyond our understanding. And you know, I'm so glad of that. If he was limited to my or our understanding, the world would be in a much bigger mess than it is now. And there'd be little of the hope that we're called to. This hope is what Paul, with whatever his affliction was, held to all through his pain and sufferings. His understanding being that his personal limitations were not obstacles to spiritual purpose, but rather instead opportunities for relying on God's strength. And there's a lot of truth in that. But truth be told, we are not all Paul's and lack his gung-ho spirituality. Thinking, all this is for a reason and I'll be more the stronger for it. At the time, those words probably don't just come to mind. Maybe then, we're more able to align ourselves with the disciple Peter. Faltering, mistake-making Peter. Even he, when others were deserting Jesus because of his teaching being too hard, responds to the question Jesus asked his disciples. Are you also going to leave? Lord, Peter says, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. God is there to strengthen us in times of sorrow, in times of confusion, in times of darkness. Where else do we go? So continue to pray, and to pray without ceasing for the desires of your heart. With every prayer, we are placing our hope in the one who places his hope in us. Let's be encouraged by the truth that the hope, faith, and trust Paul and Peter held on to in Jesus is the same hope, truth, and trust we embody through the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Every prayer, whether answered in the way we desire or not, is a prayer heard, and in God's way, a prayer acted upon. Let's just pray. Jesus, help us to be drawn closer to you as we struggle with the whys in our lives. Guide us, we pray, with your wisdom. Comfort us with your compassion. And hold us tightly with your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.